Okay, to explain the title of our reading this morning, the real name of the church where I served as intern minister is North Shore Unitarian Church, and the members there routinely call themselves simply Unitarians. The same problem exists at my current church, All Souls Unitarian Indy. I titled my column North Shore Universalist Church as a tongue-in-cheek jibe in hopes that it would help them to remember to include Universalist when stating their religious affiliation. There's more to it than just the naming. I think it is very important for Unitarian Universalists to understand Universalism. It is a foundational strand of our liberal religious movement and informs several principal components of our modern UU theology. For example, every one of our principles contains Universalist ideas. I don't mean to downplay Unitarian values, but I believe Unitarian Universalism today in many ways is much more Universalist than it is Unitarian. So today I will tell you why I love Universalism and hope I find a receptive audience here. The first way I was able to relate to Universalism was through its historical denunciation of Calvinist Christian doctrines, which I had always found problematic. The Southern Baptist Church in which I grew up taught that I was sinful by nature, that God couldn't accept me in my sinful state, and that in fact God was angry at me for sinning, and that God allowed his only son, a totally sinless human being, to be tortured and killed by evil people as a sacrifice to make up for my sins, and that in order to be reconciled to God, that I had to repent and accept every bit of that story. And oh, by the way, if I didn't, I would go to hell. Quite a heavy load, don't you think? For years, I struggled with these ideas, not really believing them, but not sure what would happen if I admitted that and looked for an alternative plan. I imagine this line of thinking has caused problems for at least a few of you, too. If only I had known about Universalist Christianity in my earlier years, I would have been spared so much fear and shame. As it was defined by Hosea Ballou in his Treatise on Atonement in 1805, Universalist Christianity gave people a more hopeful, loving, and in many cases happier outlook on life. Ballou wrote, "The belief that the great Jehovah was offended by his creatures to the degree that nothing but the death of Christ or the endless misery of mankind could appease his anger is an idea that has done more injury to the Christian religion than the writings of all of its opposers for many centuries. The error has been fatal to the life and spirit of the religion of Christ in our world." According to Ballou, Jesus' purpose in the world was to teach the power of love, through which men and women can turn away from sin and be reconciled to God. He said, "The literal death of the man, Christ Jesus, is figurative, that is, metaphorical or symbolic. The death of the body of Jesus represented the death and destruction of the letter of the Hebrew law, which was to be replaced by the spirit of love. At that time, espousing God's love for all people was a radical departure from Christian orthodoxy. Universalists, feeling they were loved by a benevolent God rather than threatened by an angry one, were at once relieved and motivated to help others find similar happiness." In his Treatise on Atonement, Ballou openly ridiculed the doctrine of the Trinity and embraced the position that Christ was not part of the Godhead. Thus, Universalists were Unitarian in their theology, but they held little interest in that subject compared to their message of love. Excuse me. Their primary tenet was that it was due to God's love for all people, that they didn't have to do anything to atone for their sins, to be at one with God. Therefore, salvation was a gift from God by His grace because He loved people. This is the part most UUs tell about, that early Universalists preached that everyone was saved and there was no need for the threat of hell. What's more, Ballou said, this love, which is the spirit of the life of Jesus Christ, is not confined particularly to names, sects, denominations, people, or kingdoms. God's love was universal and given freely to all people, regardless of religious beliefs. You didn't have to be Christian at all. And Universalists came to believe that the fate of each person was tied to the fate of all human beings. The distinctive Universalist doctrine that all people, grateful for the love of God, could overcome sin and be reconciled to God became very popular in the 19th century, and the Universalist Church was one of the largest American Christian denominations for a time. For Universalists, moral behavior could not be based on fear or guilt. We are a part of a divine plan, they taught. The nature of that plan is love. Our response to that love is to express love in our own lives. Universalist theology created in its adherents a desire to help all people experience such love and through it a happier life. It created an impulse for ethical action, especially to help poor and oppressed people, and spawned several of the century's leading reformers. Hosea Ballou wrote, "There is one inevitable criterion for judgment touching religious faith in doctrinal matters. Can you reduce it to practice? If not, have none of it." Their example lives today in our UU Side with Love campaign. Reverend Dick Gilbert writes, "The distinctive Universalist doctrine of the 19th century, universal salvation, the final harmony of all souls with God, for many, is a charmingly irrelevant bit of 19th century nostalgia, a theology for the good old days. My purpose this morning in recounting how theologically advanced for their time early Universalists were is not to suggest that we revert to a Universalist Christian theology, but to remind us how their insights can still energize us today. Through the 19th and the first half of the 20th century, Universalist theology evolved and changed, as the once popular theistic Universalism lost much of its appeal, and a demanding ethical Universalism took its place. Love, whether from God or from members of our human community, is still a powerful motivating force for good. The Universalist impulse to save humanity, to include all people in the human family, is alive and well. But I suggest that we need to re-articulate the message of Universalism in the 21st century. Now, some UUs, maybe most of us, at some point in our spiritual development, have questioned the need to think about those old theological terms like salvation anymore. We can say, thanks, Universalists, for getting us over the need to worry about hell, but the idea of salvation is of little or no consequence anymore, even though some of our neighbors still seem to be hung up on the idea of salvation from sin. Why don't we UUs just let old dogs lie? My response to that is twofold. First, if you're not interested in talking about old theological doctrines, great, don't wake up the dog. For the second half of my answer, I'll quote Forrest Church. Freedom of religion too easily translates into the emptiness of freedom from religion. While freedom is a watchword of our faith, we must take that freedom seriously. For one thing, we choose to be free together. We come together to create beloved community, rather than remaining free alone. For another, free to dismiss the answers others have given to life's essential questions, we are not free to dismiss these questions themselves. Included in the old concept of universal salvation were responses to several of life's ultimate questions. What will happen to us after we die was only one of them. It also had implications for these questions. What can I hope for now and in the future? What ought I to do with my life? What am I capable of? Does everyone matter? In what sense? How can I be in relationship with others? Who cares about me? Does it make any difference that I live? Finding help with questions like these is still a vital religious task. Our universalist heritage tells us the most basic religious virtue is to provide a hospitable community of acceptance in which all people, especially those who feel unacceptable, can come and find help with life's thorny questions. Universalism has always had a positive opinion about human nature and has been particularly optimistic about people's capacity and propensity to do good. Initially, at a time when Christian theism was taken for granted in our culture, Universalists' confidence in the goodwill of people was predicated upon their gratitude for the benevolent love of God and the message of universal respect for all classes of people taught by Jesus. Slowly, Universalism moved outward from Christian theism, first embracing other theistic world religions, and later on coming to a place where a belief in God was no longer simply assumed to be the source of goodness. And now we UUs recognize many sources of spiritual strength. So today we will not cover all the nuances of the devolution of American universalism, but there is one we should look at briefly because it continues to be of profound interest to UUs today. The issue is the problem of liberal over-optimism about human nature and the progress of society. At one point, Universalists assumed everyone would eventually become enlightened to their way of thinking, and soon thereafter a utopian society would emerge. Then the genocides and wars of the 20th century forced not only Universalists, but liberal religions of all stripes to incorporate into their theologies a more realistic treatment of the human capacity for evil. Universalists had to admit that people have the capacity to do great evil as well as good, and could be influenced by heredity, their society, brain chemistry, and any number of things in addition to their religious beliefs. We could no longer predict human society would inevitably move onward and upward forever. Today, we liberal religionists still have an optimistic view of human nature as a whole, but it is tempered with the knowledge that people individually and as societies must do what we can to deal effectively with the potential for evil and to nurture and encourage people to live up to their potential for good. I won't give you any examples of evil this morning, but I'm sure you can think of some. As tempted as I may be. The following liberal religious concepts of human nature and universalism that have evolved within our movement for over 200 years have been merged into our seven principles. Number one, a theology founded on the affirmation of love. Two, a thoroughly democratic church government. 3, a social conscience motivated by the belief in the supreme worth of every human person. 4, a conviction that liberal religion can and should speak to all sorts and conditions of people. 5, an insistence on the equality of women and men, and indeed all genders, in both church and society. 6, a recognition that liberal religion requires emotional warmth as well as intellectual vigor. And finally, 7, the great vision of inclusiveness implied by the universalist name. This last one is still our biggest challenge as UUs. There has been a lot of progress with the inclusiveness of women and gays and lesbians, but there is still much more to be done with people of color, immigrants, and others. UU churches are mostly white and middle class at a time when our society is rapidly changing to a more multicultural mix of people. Now, here are some modern universalist answers to a few of life's persistent questions. Does it make any difference that I live? We say, absolutely, yes. Each individual's contributions to the world are important and valued. Does everyone matter? In what sense? Yes, everyone deserves to be treated with dignity and to be accorded the same set of rights. For example, those laid out in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, to which almost every country in the world has signed on. By demanding that no one be left out, that we ensure everyone's security and potential for a good life. What am I capable of? We know people can do both good and evil, and that we can choose to do good in most circumstances. We witness people helping each other more often than not. We continue to be amazed at the human capacity to hope for a better future, even in the direst of times. We think every human being has the potential to come up with powerful new ideas and solutions. What can I hope for now and in the future? We see anecdotal evidence in our homes, churches, and societies of people making progress, not only technologically, but also in our ability to live together in ever more complex social groups. We believe in the possibility of our creating a better future for our children and our world. What ought I to do with my life? Universalism has always encouraged individuals to find their own source of inspiration and to develop themselves to their greatest potential. It has also urged people to combine their talents with others to create loving and nurturing communities. How can I be in relationship with others? Healthy relationships begin with respect and goodwill toward the other. Everyone has something to offer. Assume you will grow through relationships in ways you didn't expect and risk going deep. Who cares about me? We all need other people for our survival, growth, and happiness. If you allow other people in, they will care about you. And what will happen to us after we die? Well, of course, your body will not survive, but we have several different theories about the mind, and we know you will survive in the lives and memories of those you have touched. You will create lasting change during your lifetime. We encourage you to make changes that will benefit the generations of people who will follow you. So I hope that my effort to highlight some of the threads of universalism woven into the tapestry that is modern Unitarian Universalism has helped us to appreciate the richness universalism adds to our faith. I encourage us to both honor our universalist heritage and to take universalism forward through the mission of our church by continuing to affirm the strength of love to bring about a community of radically inclusive hospitality, and motivated by a strong social conscience to use our power for good. Might this be so? Amen.